Great to have you with us from the cafe, our official coffee partner. We've got Liam Pickering in from 8, but right now we've got the CEO of the Melbourne Footy Club, Gary Peart, in the studio. Annual general meeting last night, and Melbourne have released the red and blue print and the goals for 2020 to 2023. So in a four-year period to play AFL and AFLW finals each year and win at least one AFL and one AFLW flag, eliminate debt, 75,000 members, so 52,000 at the moment, so you want to increase that and average home crowds of around 50,000 amongst other things. Purdy, welcome.
Hey, Gaz, Tim.
Realistic, it didn't seem outlandish. I remember when Benny Gale put his out, the 75,000 and the premiership and all that, so we all sort of half giggled and laughed behind our hand, but they got there and they're now the power club. So what was the motivation for this?
Well, I would say it's ambitious. It's uncomfortable. It's certainly not the club sitting back going, this is where we see ourselves and this is going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be a huge challenge for the club. Playing in four final series in a row really sets up an era of success, which is what we talk about as a club. And the reason why we've come out and talked about it is while this is an internal vision that we've been working on for a while, is I think during tough times, and last year was a tough time and what we put our supporters through, I think you've got to be even more transparent at that stage to say, this is what we're working on, this is the club we're creating. You talk about those goals, playing in finals and winning a premiership, that's what will drive us to be able to generate 75,000 members. And I know, I've no doubt we'll get to that point. And then the money comes in and you can pay down your debt and you've got money to invest in your facilities. And all of a sudden the whole club starts to gain momentum. And that's certainly what we talked about last night.
You said uncomfortable. Why uncomfortable?
Well, because there's 17 other teams, elite teams. This is a brutal, ruthless competition. And while we sit down and map out our plans, we've got 17 other teams that have got similar plans, and the maths just don't work. At the end of the day, there's only going to be 8 teams playing in the finals, and getting to a grand final and winning a premiership in the competition, which is so close at the moment, means that every player's got to be fit, playing at their best. The coaches have got to have a game style that stands up to finals footy. The club's got to be able to provide elite facilities for our players to compete against these other teams and the bigger clubs like the West Coast and these other clubs. The facilities they've got compared to what we've got are at a whole different level.
You know, when you come out publicly and say, okay, we're going to win a flag the next 4 years, is that effectively putting your current day coach on notice as well? Do you bring him along with this vision that you've articulated this morning?
Yeah, Goody and the leaders of the footy club are certainly across anything that we talk about. They've been part of building this. I wouldn't even talk about the head coach. I would say everyone at the club, every single person on and off the field, what we're saying, this is what our ambitions look like, this is what our vision looks like, and we all play a role in that space. But certainly the footy department, and I think everyone around the club, is actually saying, we've got the longest premiership drought of any club in the competition. We need to be playing in finals. If we want to be the biggest, best version of ourselves as a club, got to play finals footy. We've got to win a premiership, and let's set that. And so every decision that we make on and off the field leading into that is about that on-field success.
So how can you trust this side to play finals every year for the next 4 years, given they played a final series 2 years ago and didn't handle it at all well, and you know the backside dropped out of the joint and they finished 16th after a preliminary final?
Well, when we say they didn't handle it that well, I think they got to a point where they were up against a team that was at a different level. And
consequently. So they handled their final series okay. They got to a prelim beyond expectations, and then they dropped the following year.
Yeah.
How can you trust them?
Yeah, look, I think in a lot of ways there was a whole lot of contributing factors that, you know, last year we went through, and in our postseason review we articulated to everyone. But a big key driver of that is that we didn't have a team that was prepared and fit leading into the season, and we couldn't get that team settled and fit again throughout the entire season. At no point we had an all-time record amount of games lost through injuries to our key players. And so we never at any stage during the year got momentum. So I don't think it was as simple as a fit team that should have played better that just didn't handle the situation. I think we struggled to put together a top team for the whole season.
Part of this plan, have you got an established idea about a home for the Melbourne Football Club? Because that has been a concern over the years for the club as well.
Yeah, because the on-field's one part of the plan. I think we're trying to really set a vision where the club is the best version of itself, and we haven't had football and administration together in a home base with a social club like every other club. We haven't had that in recent history, and we're very close to that.
And that's become really important for football clubs. You talk about all the clubs now that do new facilities, and they talk about the fact that they design them in a way that, you know, players have to walk past administration staff, so everybody has a real understanding of what it is that they belong to and what they represent. So, I mean, that's been missing from Melbourne for a long time.
Tim, I got there in 84. We haven't had a home.
That's right.
Since 1984.
That's right.
Wandering and sort of aimlessly through the ether. At least they're in a precinct now where it's close to the heartland. So what can you tell the Melbourne supporters from that point of view?
And, Gary, we do a lot of work to keep that one club culture going. But like you said, when it's a 10-minute walk between football and administration, it's very difficult, and it's not reflective of the other elite facilities of the other clubs. So we're working with the state government, the AFL, who are all equally committed. The state government fund the feasibility exercise, or into the second phase of that. It's progressing really well, and we're committed to actually come up with a home base within walking distance of the MCG where we play our home games, create that heart and soul of a club, bring the whole club together, a social club that our supporters before and after a game can move between our social club and the MCG. This is about creating the Melbourne Football Club in our vision to go. This is what we've got to look like for the next 50 years.
So committed to doing it. So there was a feasibility study put out on the north side of the MCG, which is up near the Hilton end of it. That is not going to take place?
No, look, I think there is probably some factors of merit there, potentially building over the top of the train line. But once you get into that parkland, I think it was always going to be difficult to put an oval in a sloping parkland like that. It's pretty sensitive, valuable ground. I would say it's probably going to be still the exercise we're looking at is we're looking at three or four different sites. But again, the most important thing is their walking distance of the MCG, and that's certainly progressing well.
Long way to go, given where the club finished this year, to a premiership. Are you confident that you're going to be able to deliver this vision over the next 4 years?
Well, we're saying a premiership in the next 4 years. It's important that we're back playing in the finals. We've got to prove, and this is what's going to be up to us, every single person at the club, is what we've got to prove is last year, the reasons that we articulated about why we only won five games and didn't deliver and disappointed our supporters, those reasons were really valid, and that's not a reflection of the talent and the coaches and our programs, and that's got to be proven from the first game this year.
Are you satisfied that brutal internalisation of what took place last year has taken place at your football club? I mean, have you turned the place upside down after the answers or searching for those answers?
Well, I'm very happy with the makeup of our player group, our coaches, our support staff. Darren Burgess has been fantastic from day one. When I talk to the players about the impact and his philosophies and the preparation and the work we've done, which is at an intensity level that we've never, ever done before, that pretty well all the players are saying they're the fittest they've ever been. We certainly don't have...
We hear that all the time, though, from players.
And I think that's all you can do is prepare yourself like that. But you got to know that across town and interstate, every other club's doing the same. We get that. And a lot of this becomes talk until you get out on the ground and you actually start playing and showing your supporters, we have made the right decisions, we've got the right people in place, and everything is talk until then. And we get that. But as I sit here now and I look at the people and the programs we've got in place, I'm very comfortable that we've done all the work to set ourselves up for this year.
So you talked about injuries, and look, a lot of people say that's excuses and that, you know, this doco, there's a lot of talk coming out of Melbourne, which is fair enough. It is, then you've got to back it up. So these are some of the names that have come off this text message: McDonald, Gorn, Proust, May, Kolodziejczyk, Wagner, Bennell, Brayshaw, Hannon, Vanderberg. So injuries again at this stage of the preseason. What can you tell us from an update point of view there?
Well, I can tell you that not all those players are going to miss the first game. So in this period of time, as we intensify the training, we've got some players like Kolodziejczyk and Vanderberg who basically didn't play last year that They're preparing. So Vandenberg, for example, it's a very slow burn. We want to get him right for the early part of the season. We don't want to push his program, but we're really happy where he's at. Harley Bunnell, we took him on board, and sure, he's going to be a risk. But if we get half a dozen games out of him, he'll be fantastic. May had a bit of a hiccup, but not a major injury, but it'll take a little bit of time. He'll be ready for the first game or shortly into the season, and Gorney's already back running and he'll be fine for the first game.
If we use Richmond as an example, because they did a very similar thing and it was a really ambitious strategic plan that they put out publicly, and then they've been able to deliver on that. Leadership is so important at CEO level, at coach level, at captain level. Right now, do you believe and Richmond had a great leader there in Trent Koch and is able to drive the on-field success for the team. Do you believe, and you're about to name another captain for the club at some stage during this preseason, do you believe you've got the right calibre of leadership there at Melbourne right now?
Yeah, I do. Off-field, I think we've definitely got the right people in place. And on-field, the leadership group, it really doesn't come down to the central captain or co-captains. The leadership group now that we've got is far more mature and far more ready, and we've brought some key, more experienced players in. I think the on-field leadership is there, but they've also got to be players that are fit and out on the ground. Last year, we had a lot of our leaders off the ground, and that does have an impact as well.
So Max Gorn's currently injured. Would that mean that he's disqualified from possibly being the captain of Melbourne this year?
Well, Gorney will be back for the first game.
Right.
And the players will work through nominating who they want as their captain and leader and the whole leadership group. But I think we've seen Gorney evolve over the last couple of years from a young guy that was worried just about getting himself right in his own performance. Now, I think he's one of certainly the great leaders down the club, on and off the field, and he'll well and truly be in the mix.
Bertie, as we let you go, I want you to answer this question from Cheryl, and we appreciate you coming in. I've been a member for 30 years, just rolling out the same old story which won't be delivered. I'm sick of hearing about it, just get it done. Can you answer that for Cheryl?
Well, I think it's valid, because I think Melbourne supporters for the last 30 years have gone, I haven't seen a period of sustained performance. And so when we paint a vision there, and I want to be in 5 years' time looking back saying we delivered all those aspects, and I can guarantee Cheryl and every other Melbourne supporter will go, great, that's what we want. But I can understand as we present this, we know we open ourselves up by putting it out on the website for Cheryl and a lot of other Melbourne supporters to go, that hasn't been delivered for so long by the Melbourne Football Club. It's question marks all over it. At the same time, I hope that they look at it and go, that's what our leaders are trying to create, leaders on and off the field. And like I said, I hope I'm back here in 5 years' time saying we delivered all those elements. And if we have, Melbourne's a different club. It's a powerhouse club.
And the good thing is you're going to be held to account. So yep, it's out there and you're held to account. Thanks for coming in. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bert,
joining us in the studio. We'll be back. We might discuss that and the Ross Lyon situation after this.